Good morning and God bless you. So good to see your faces. And for those of us that are watching or not watching or hearing this later and all that, it's still good for us to commune together around the Word of God. So let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I'll just be reading one verse this morning from the book of John, the 14th chapter and the 21st verse. And we will call today's message, A Greater Experience with God. Do you want that? I know that I do. But I want it focused on what the Word says, not just experience for the sake of experience. Not just something that makes me feel good. Not just something that makes me think good. Not just something that makes me act good, but something that is good. And God's Word is good. John 14, verse 21. This is Jesus talking, and he says, Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for your glory, speak to us from your word, your wisdom, your will, your way, your love for us. Shed abroad in our hearts that we might return love to you. Help us in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. A greater, closer experience with God. You ever felt closer to God at some times than other times? Anybody who's listening is going to say yes, right? If you're a Christian, there's times when you feel God seemed to be close, and sometimes when he seems to not seem so close, whether it's in your mind, it's in your will, it's in your emotions, there's just times when it seems to be going better. Have you ever had anybody come up and ask you, how's it going between you and God? Right? Just straight out of nowhere. You know, hey, how you doing? My name's JD. How's it going with you and God? Right? And sometimes you're just ready to chomp at the bit. I hope somebody asked me that. Woo! Right? And other times it's like, I think I'll hide over here. Sometimes your face says that and all of that. Sometimes people think they know that's what's on your face when it's not on your face. Maybe they're projecting what's going on with them, but we all go through this. We all have times when we seem closer. God seems closer, and sometimes he seems distant, or we know we're distant. I know I have. Have you ever wondered, though, is it possible even for someone to improve their relationship with God? Now, before you go off immediately answering yes or no on that, there are some things that we need to discuss today that we are. Because it might seem like the Bible says, yes, you can improve your relationship with God, but your experience might seem to say, no, you can't, or no, it hasn't. So you might think you're just stuck, riding it out till you get to heaven. This is just all there is. I don't understand what people mean. I really do love God, but it's not really catching hold for me, and I'm just sort of, riding a roller coaster, as it seems. Can I get this thing going up and up and not seemingly, pits and falls and all of this? What's really going on? Well, there is a way forward. And we're going to do a little theology today. More than just a simple expositional sermon, we're going to be doing a sort of a theological sermon, because this is a distinction that I think people don't really understand. And when they do understand it, it will help you in your relationship with God. It's critical. The distinction between union with God and communion with God. Union with God, by virtue of you being born again, the Holy Spirit regenerated, you're one with Christ. Everywhere you see that in Christ, this is what he's talking about, our union with God. And then there is communion with God. All right? Union describes your family relationship with God. Communion describes your experiential relationship with God. So when we're talking about God seems closer, we're talking about our experiential relationship with God. And that's the title again today of service, A Greater Experience with God. Now, we don't chase experience for the sake of experience. But in this verse, in John 14, 21, he is talking about a greater experience with God. Now, Christians have union with God. And this union with God leads to communion with God. Your union with God is in Christ, based on the gracious work of God alone. It doesn't depend on you. Amen. That relationship won't change. It remains the same. But your communion with God is a relationship which does depend on your involvement. Your experience with God can change. It can be warmer or colder depending on you. Okay? Now think of it like a family that has several children. Of course, all the children are part of that family. That doesn't change. But if one child grows up and then never talks to the family again, their experience of that family will be different than another child who stays in contact with the family. Obvious, right? And each child does remain part of that family. But each child will have a different experience with that family depending on how close those relationships are. And everybody in the whole congregation that will ever listen to this anytime will say amen, because we know that. Your children have been that way. My children have been that way. Everybody's children have been that way. Parents have been that way. It depends on what's going on. If you live across the sea, you might still love them. Obviously, you still love them, but you're not going to be eating lunch with them every week. That type of thing. So these things can happen, and this is the way it is with your relationship with God. You're not getting kicked out of the family. Hallelujah. Once he puts his seal on you, that mail's getting delivered, baby. But, the closeness of that relationship depends on the people involved. And their perception of those relationships will be affected. The more time you stay out of church, the weirder church people seem to be. Or the less you seem to need them, which only proves that you do. But with a family, the love is unconditional. It will remain the same, but the experience of that love will differ. It can improve and it can decline. Your union with Christ is like that. Your union with God can't improve. And it cannot decline. It is based on God. But your communion with God can improve and it can decline. It is based on you. Can I say that again? Your union with God cannot improve and it cannot decline. It's not based on you. It's based on God. But your communion with God, your relationship, that two-way street, that can improve and it can decline because it does depend on you. The love that God has for you cannot increase or decrease. Hallelujah. But your experience of that love can increase or decrease. If you pursue obedience, if you seek to honor God, if you resist temptation, and if you suffer well, yes, that's your witness. If you suffer well, if you make use of the means of grace, such as prayer, Bible study, the Lord's Supper, attending church, hearing the preached word, etc., your communion with God will improve. Think of communion as communication. God communicates his love through his means. Let me say it this way. If you stay in the lunch line, you'll get fed. If you stay plugged in, you won't lose power. If you go to the family gathering, you'll reconnect with the family. If you answer a text, you have a conversation. If you don't go with mommy to the store, you won't come back home with a slushie. I added that one yesterday as my daughter was over and we were talking about things and one child came, the other came, and when we went to here, we went to there, and the other one didn't get to go. It wasn't like you don't love the other person, but then it just came to me. So next time mommy asks you to go to the store with her, yes, she wants you to help pick out the groceries, but you might get a slushie. And if not, then you can come to me and yell and whatever. But this is what happens. If you don't, you can have the greatest buffet, but if you don't show up, right? You can have the tickets to the concert, but if you don't go, right? Now, when you feel a distance from God, and you're thinking about it, you're praying about it, and you know it's your sinful thoughts, actions, or behavior, what do? You look to your union with God. Again, do you understand what I mean by union with Christ? It's a mystical thing. It is that when you are born again, the Spirit of God comes to regenerate you, to cause you to be born again. Then you have faith because God's turned on the light. And you are baptized by one Spirit into one body and been made to drink of one Spirit. That's 1 Corinthians 12:13. He that is joined to the Lord is one Spirit with him. That's 1 Corinthians 6:17. We know that he lives in us and that we live in him because he's given us of his Holy Spirit, 1 John 4:13. Over and over and over again, this is a huge doctrine. This isn't something I'm making up. We just didn't go to all the verses because they're just flat all there. Union with Christ is the stamp of God's approval on your soul. It's the reason, you know, God doesn't seal you and then unseal you, right? You don't get born again and then got unborn again. This is that bedrock of what you need to get you through when everybody else says, maybe you're not a Christian. Or maybe, you know, you need this thing, this experience, or that experience. What you need is the born-again experience. And if you have it, you're in union with Christ. And when you're not doing so well, and the devil comes and tells you you're a sinner, you can point to the cross and say, but he's a winner. I'm counting on him. My union with Christ is not based on me. It's based on Christ. It's all of grace. Hallelujah. Look to your union with God. Yes. Your felt experience of assurance is dependent on your current communion. I just don't feel as good. Yeah, what have you been doing? Well, you know, I've been looking at something. I've been picking that thing up again. I'm holding unforgiveness. Whatever it may be. Yes, of course, because you're being less and less like God, so you're feeling less and less love for God. That is the way that it works. But your true assurance is dependent on God alone. Hallelujah. If you feel like your foundation is crumbling, lean on the solid rock that is Jesus Christ. If you're born again, you have true union with God, and that's not affected by the ups and downs and all arounds in your battle with sin. But that just means people, stop that. Be a grace man. Be a grace woman. Be a king's kid. You ain't getting kicked out of the kingdom. You've been brought in. If you feel like you've hit rock bottom, maybe you have. Well, work up from that rock bottom, the solid rock bottom, your union with God through Jesus Christ. The distinction between union and communion helps you understand your relationship with God. It cuts through all the nonsense. Well, I wonder this, and my past that, and my mommy did this, and this happened, and this happened. Boom! You can cut through all that and just get down to business. God's love for you isn't affected by your actions or the actions of anyone else. That doesn't sell well because people, you can't manipulate people when they know that they've got it. And you can't, if I've got Jesus, I've got something money can't buy, poverty can't lose, no one can steal, death can't stop, the devil can't touch, and I can't mess up. But no, you can mess up, you can do this, you can mess up the communion. Can't mess up the union. If one of the little ones did something you told them not to do, and then they lied about not doing it, and then you confront them to their face and they lie again, you don't say, I cast thee out. No. You're not real happy with them right now. They're going to have some kind of punishment. There's going to be some consequences and all that. But it's done in a heart of love. It ought to be. Again, God's love for you isn't affected by your actions. But your experience of God's love for you is affected by your actions. Can you improve your union with God? No. Can you improve your communion with God? Yes. Your union with God cements your status as a child of God. It doesn't change, but your experience, and here's a new word I'm introducing, enjoyment of God is affected by your level of communion with God. For example, as a child of God, in union with God, you have the right to come to God in prayer. Hallelujah. You have access. And you have no greater right than someone else just because they've been more obedient and you've been less obedient. But now, having said that, you're more likely to pray in the will of God when you're already walking in the will of God. Amen? Your obedience doesn't earn you a better or quicker or more satisfying answer. But your obedience may mean that you're better tuned into God's frequency. Is this starting to come clear to you now? But it is two sides. For the Christian, your relationship with God is not simply the objective fact of your union with God. Praise God, it is that. but it's also the subjective experience of your communion with God. That's the part that you're feeling. That's the part that's got your mind down. That's the part that you might be depressed about or happy about and all that. But if you make that... You can do the math there. You can't change the nature of your relationship with God. But what you do makes a real difference in your experience of that relationship with God. You can nurture the relationship or neglect it. You can find joy in God or look for joy in the fleeting pleasures and empty treasures of this world. What you do does make a difference. Your relationship with God is based on the gracious work of God. All three persons of the Trinity are involved. God the Father started that work in eternity through divine election. God the Son executed that work by dying on the cross. God the Spirit applied that work by causing you to be born again. You didn't create this relationship. You can't improve it, and you can't break it. It rests on God's grace. You are secure in Him. But what you do or don't do has an effect on your experience and enjoyment of God. And of course, there are people that just want to go back to that. They know the math, and then they really aren't born again in the first place, but that's what the book of James and the book of 1 John and much of the New Testament is telling you. Are you just a make-believer, right? But there's times when other people will tell you, you know, you love God. You're going to church, you're praying, you're trying to sing, you're wanting God. When things are down and when things are good and when things are bad, God is involved in your life. You are involved in God's life. You didn't just taste and see, you've taken a big old swallow. And then something happens and you get in a season of life or you start to have doubts because something bad happened and you don't know why and you think, maybe this is all there is and all that. Come back. Who are you in touch with? Now, John 14:21 makes it clear that love-marinated obedience does result in greater revelations and experience of God's love. That is not a change in God's love for you, but a change in your experience of God's love for you. And this manifestation Jesus speaks of here, it's not talking about dreams and visions and powers and things like that. It means you experience a more profound walk, a sweetness, an intensity, an intimacy in your walk with God. Now I'm about to repeat two very famous sayings. They go together. They've been said many times over many years by many people, and they're both true. The first one is this. If you are a Christian, there is nothing you can do to make God love you less. The second one is this. If you're a Christian, there's nothing you can do to make God love you more. All right? If you're a Christian, there's nothing you can do to make God love you less, and there's nothing you can do to make God love you more. Those are powerful and profound truths, and I need them because I need to know that God loves me just the same when I fail Him, because I often fail Him. The more light you have, the more dust you see. You think you're doing this great, this great, this great, then you realize that that little thought you had, that's cosmic treason. Right. That little thing you did, that is this big. God wants you this big. So I need to know that God loves me just the same when I fail Him, because I often fail Him. And I need to know that I cannot earn more love from God, because I often try to earn His love. I hear a message like this and I say, okay, I'm going to get this communion off. I'm going to earn God shedding His love on me. That doesn't work that way. Now these are truths that all Christians need. They help you combat fear and pride. But I think people often take these truths and they misapply them to their lives. They take these truths about God's love for His children and think it means it doesn't matter what you do. But it does. Now, yes, if you're a Christian, you can't stop God from loving you. Hallelujah. But you can limit your experience and enjoyment of God's love. God's pouring His love out on you like rain, but you might be wearing an umbrella. God's going to continually feed you, but you get out of the lunch line. You know, think about the prodigal son. The father never stopped loving the prodigal son. But until that son came back home, he didn't experience the blessing of being with his father. You cannot change your union with Christ. But you can have an effect on your communion with Christ. Communion, in other words, God communicates himself to you. But when you're stubborn, defiant, rebellious, willfully resisting God, there's a price to pay. You may not think it's happening, but it is. You may just shrug it all off because you feel good right now and things are going well. I must be doing what God wants me to do, as if that's a cause and effect thing. And you're settling for a lesser experience with God. Following Jesus will cost you. The gift of salvation is free, but the cost of discipleship is high. If you want to... crude example, but here we go. She is a babe. He is hot. You're in high school. And you find out she wants this or he wants this. You're going to... What did Lou Gramm sing? I would climb any mountain, sail across the stormy sea. If that's what it takes me, baby, to show how much you mean to me. Get used to it. I do 70s rock songs a lot. But that's the thing. Everybody is motivated. There's no question about it. You just got to find out what motivates you. And when you've really experienced God shedding his love, and you know it's like, that's what I want, man. If I'm feeling that, I don't pick that thing up. If I'm understanding and thinking through that, I ain't thinking about that thing I was looking at. Right? If I need to drop that other thing, it's because I want to pick this thing up. You got two dogs. And there's a piece of meat there. Which one's going to get the meat? The one that's stronger. The one that's been eating the meat before. You see, if you have a bone in a dog's mouth and you try to get that bone, it ain't going to work too well. But if I have a big, fat, juicy porterhouse, raw, dripping with blood sitting there, that dog's going to drop that bone and come get that meat. See, when you start to convince yourself in your mind, in your emotions, in your will, the way you think, right, the way you do, the way you feel, then that motivation is, instead of you trying to push yourself to try to do what's right, it pulls you like wind in the ocean. And that's what we want. It doesn't mean it's easy. It means you got to feel some pain to let go of those little Tonka toys you used to do to get on the real train. Yes. The gift of salvation is free, but the cost of discipleship is high. If you want to move forward with God, you don't get to walk back the other way. And it can hurt when you have to lose in order to win. But the pain of changing is far less than the price of not changing. The pain of changing is far less than the price of not changing. And the results are far better. But now, let's get right down real with this. Because I'm sure that you've had times when you really do want to be closer to God, to move forward, but you keep sliding back. My friend and I call it sliding back into stupid. Because sin makes you stupid. You stop thinking, feeling, or doing one thing, but you start up thinking, feeling, and doing another. And then you stop that other, but then you fall right back into that old thing again. Or something like that. One day you're good, one day you're not. Even if you're not stuck on one thing, you feel stuck in something. That was better than that. Even if you're not stuck on one thing, you feel like you're stuck in something. You can't even know what it is. You're praying. It's just like, I can't move forward. And then what happens? I am now in your kitchen. Depending on your personality, your personal previous experience, and people you've listened to, you'll think you need to focus on something more. I'm giving you huge swaths of scripture here. I'm just relating it down into a way that we can handle right now. If you want to play Bible ping pong and have verses and all that, praise God, let's do it. You see, there's a difference between preaching and teaching. Preaching is the outline. Teaching is filling in the blanks. All right? So what we're doing right now is called preaching. So then you think you got to do something. You got to do something. I need to do something. So your idea of closeness and experiencing God is probably centered on one of three areas. I call these thinking, feeling, and doing. In other words, you might believe that your answer is more study. You think you need to think more. Closest to you means understanding. Or maybe you believe that your answer is more worship. You need to feel more. Closest to you means emotion. And you go to whole churches that are like this. They want to think well. Other close churches, you know, they want to feel well. And other churches, they want to eat well and, you know, whatever. Or maybe you believe that your answer is more service. You need to do more. Closeness to you means action. Here we come. Ready? The truth is that it isn't about more thinking, feeling, or doing. It's just about more Jesus. God will work in all those three threads together. If you're the person that, you know, you need to feel God and all that, I challenge you, get in some thinking kind of church too. Listen to some Dr. Sproul or Dr. MacArthur maybe. Or maybe you got that thinking thing down. You read Table Talk. You listen to Dr. Moeller every day. You know, you've got this thing down. You know you're some Greek and Hebrew and hallelujah, and you're just woo, woo, woo. Listen to some John Piper. Right? Listen to some Sam Storms. I could name other names. Get some feeling going on, right? Or maybe, you know, you've got these things going on, and you just, you know, you're just a full of knowledge, and you feel good, and you're by yourself, dancing by yourself, or in church and everything like that, and you don't do nothing. I could name a denomination that I'm very proud of, and I've never belonged to, but they do stuff, right? Get active socially, evangelistically, etc., etc. The point is that it's not about any one of those threads. God uses all those things to put you together in contact with Him. God's love for you in Jesus Christ is the fuel for your obedience. Hear me clearly. I will speak slow. God's love for you in Jesus Christ is the fuel for your obedience. Remember, your obedience based on your union with God helps you with your communion with God, which gives you a greater experience and enjoyment of His love. Okay? Your union with God is the foundation and fuel for your communion with God. Your love for God flows from His love for you. We love Him because He first loved us. So just keep moving in the means of grace. Feeding on the love of God will fuel your love for God. There is your answer. Feeding on the love of God will fuel your love for God. Again, there is your answer. And if that means you've got to think deeply about what the cross really means and how God has given Himself to you. If you want to experience that in your worship and you're thinking about it, and now you're feeling of that, and now you're doing something about that, see, feeding on the love of God, your understanding, your emotional response to, your sacrificial giving to, the love of God will fuel your obedience for God. You know how all the movies go. They're not getting along, they're not getting along, and then one of them makes the sacrifice the other one doesn't even know about, and it's the one thing that just pulls the trigger. Now all of a sudden they trust them again, they see them again, they realized why they were in love in the first place. And that person came back into connection, they came back into connection, and it's a beautiful thing, and then it's not hard to want to do stuff for your baby. Do you hear me? One more time. Feeding on the love of God will fuel your love for God. What does that look in this thinking, feeling, doing thing? Well, as you renew your mind around the truth of God, you'll be transformed. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, that's what we want, by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. What about feeling? As you look to Jesus in worship, you'll progressively become more like Him. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, there's that word again, into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Sounds like advancement, right? For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. As you apply yourself to good works, God will empower you. 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 and 12 says this, "To this end we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified, revealed in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ." Keep feeding. It's how you keep fueling. But then there's those pesky little things. We think, I want to do this. I'm motivated here. I'm hearing what you're saying. I know this is the Word of God. This is what we want to do. But there's these things. And they just haven't gone away. I want to relate that. When dealing with a sinful desire, you might wish that God would take the desire away from you, rather than having to fight the sin within you. You pray and pray and pray, "God, take this desire away." Yet it stays as stubborn as ever sometimes. Oh, let's be real. It seems so hard. It takes so much effort. You fail so often. You wonder why it's even necessary. Why, God? Don't you want me to get better? Yes, but God has designed for you to grow in grace as you lean on him to help you fight. The process of having to deal with sinful desires is about developing your relationship with God and increasing your spiritual maturity. "He that has my commandments and keeps them," it's like a lighthouse. I'm drifting over here, the waves are high, but I can see that. And God is that light drawing you to himself. You still have to go through the stormy seas to get to the shore, but when you've done them, boy, you just want to hug that lighthouse. Fighting sinful desires is a powerful way to get to know God. Christianity is not boring. Fighting sin is not boring. You can't let up. Resting in God does not mean resting in your sin. It means resting in him as you fight your sin. As you're yoked up to him and you got this whole field to plow, but you got the man next to you. You know what I'm saying? You get to partner with him and see how he loves you in this fight. I mean, you're in the war. There you are. You're in the trench. And Sergeant York is there with you. You know what I'm saying? Chesty Puller's in that thing with you. Right? You're like, yeah. I mean, you look over at little me, you think, oh boy. But you think about it. You're trying to get someone to help you out. Who do you call? The prayer warrior. Duh. Right? I remember one time, and it was 1978, and Hurricane David was coming towards that East Coast. And we had been in a judo thing where I won, thank you. And then we stopped at the Steak and Shake over there in Orlando, which I think is closed. Then, you know, my dad saying, don't worry about it. And we had a two-story house, and mom's like, we're going to stay on that bottom story. Well, there we are, and, you know, it blew over, whatever. But it was crazy, and, you know, the shaking and things like that. I was like 12, you know, and my brother would have been 11. And we had talked about God a lot. We went to church and things like that. But I was kind of going one way for a little while, and then he was kind of going another way. And he came into my room at night, and he said this, and he probably won't hear this, but I promise you this is true as my mom and dad are sitting back there listening. He said, "I'm scared, and I know you know God." And so he wanted me to hold him and pray. And see, this is God with you in these hard times. Then when you have that and you know that, then you know you've got a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Do you hear me? When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Psalm 27:10. That's what you need is an experience. We've talked about this whole message. Experience with God. That's where I want to experience them. You see, I don't want, oh, you know, how can you make your day a 10 with your spouse? I want that spouse that when I'm a negative 50, she's good enough to keep pulling me through. That's what you want. someone that can be in the trenches with you no matter what happens, because sometimes we don't do too good. I can speak for all men. We're stupid. The answer's right in front of us, and we choose, I'll choose this other thing. And ladies, you're not exempt. But what happens when your mom or your dad or your job or your sister or your brother or your spouse or something isn't working and you're down there and you feel like you're alone? You're not alone. But how do you understand and grow in that? When you've been there, then when another battle comes, what did David say? I'm not afraid of this Philistine. A bear and a lion? I've heard what Samson did. I've done more. Who is this uncircumcised? We're going to send him packing. Yeah. Yeah. You get to partner with him and see how he loves you in that fight, how he's against you, he's for you against your sin, and you experience his work in you more intimately. The thing you think, I can't get rid of, then he's with you to help you get rid of it. Woo! Talk about power. Talk about something that the world can't do. You more fully experience the power of his word and his spirit. It's not just words anymore. It's power. You become more dependent on God in your prayers. Hallelujah. And you can see that desire being denied more often. You start making progress. You learn to appreciate the experience of God's people. If you ask them, God's people praying and working together to help mold each other into the image of Christ. And you learn not to play with sin. As you discover just how dangerous and damaging it is in your life, and not only your own life, but how it affects others' lives. That's why being together in a communal type of thing is a good start. Because you're going to see people playing around, you're going to see people trying to get it right, and you're going to see the difference. And if you know God through this, he's going to develop discernment in you when you get out there, and there's going to be people in churches that ain't right. There's going to be people that seem like they're saying Jesus, and they ain't. How are you going to know? Learn now. So why doesn't God just take away your sinful desires? Because in your fight with your own sinful desires, you fellowship with God in battle, learning how he's with you and for you. You have a deeper experience with God's word and God's spirit. Your prayers become more dependent, desperate, hallelujah, and intense. You develop a greater appreciation of God's people and God's process. You learn how sin affects your life and how your sin affects others. You continue on, stay on, and you taste some victories, yet you still know defeats, and it transforms you. Now your greatest desire is not to build your name in this world. Your greatest desire is for eternity, but you'll be here and be the clay as God is the potter for as long as he wants you here. But the Apostle Paul said, I'm between a rock and a hard place. That's where that comes from. I'm between a rock and a hard place. If I'm here, it means great work with you and for you. But if I'm there, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, to live as Christ, to die as gain. He goes, I'm hard-pressed. Not suicidal. He's heaven-bound. And your desire for eternity can become stronger than sinful desire. You haven't experienced that. That's why you didn't say amen. Gotcha. Anybody listening? Don't just go along with me because I'm saying and it sounds good. Listen to what I'm saying. If it's stupid, get rid of it. If it ain't, you better not. God designed you to fight sinful desires because through this process, you mature. And your desires begin to change as you long for heaven and full communion with God. You get a little taste of that steak and like, can I have some more steak? My dad this afternoon will probably we'll have some kind of dessert and he'll eat it and he'll go, I didn't eat that piece. Give me another. And then mom will cut him half and then you'll find him in the refrigerator going for a little bit more. And I'm a prophet, you know, and just take that grain. Like, you don't have to be a prophet to watch the grass grow. All right, so if I said chocolate pie right now, there he goes. There's my lovely dad. He's like, what? It's chocolate pie? Yeah. It's like you say, I don't know if JD's going to come to that meeting. There's going to be barbecue. I'll be there. Sweet tea? Sweet me. F- full communion with God. When you get a taste and see that the Lord is good. You see, we say God is good all the time God is good. But when things are good, it seems easy to say God is good. When things are bad, we still need to be able, not through gritted teeth, to say God is good, because that's what we're counting on, our union with Christ. The goodness of God. The power of His Spirit to help you commune with Him and to long for your real home. Let me just finish by saying it this way. Communion with God doesn't make God happier with me. It makes me happier with Him. I just don't. And you know you're supposed to, and I'm supposed to. Well, help me to want it more. The hotter she is, the more you're going to do. I know I go back to that, but I know how it was. I know when I got motivated, baby. When I got about 7th or 8th grade. Oh, yeah! Like the Kool-Aid man. Oh, yeah! And it's the same way. It's like, okay, kids, here you are. You're about to turn 15. And if you can read this many theological books, you'll get this car. If you read just this, that, and the other thing, you'll get this bike. Suddenly, Sweet Pea becomes an incredible reader. It's not a promise, by the way. But God does promise you. He says, if you have my commandments and you keep them, you're going to find out my love for you, and I'm going to manifest myself to you. You won't have to worry about, I got powers this, I can speak that, I can do that, and all that. You'll know that you know that you know, and people won't be able to dissuade you from the reality of God. Because you've experienced Him, He has blown up on the inside of you. You know there's times in your life when you've been like that. You know it. You're leaving here today like that, I hope. How do you keep it going? Keeping those means of grace. Keep that thinking, that feeling, that doing, going. The things that you aren't as good at, do those things. Then you know it's God. Supernatural, baby. Heavenly Father, we do want a greater experience with you, not just for our own selves and we just feel good, but that it will motivate us to share the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only saving our souls, but redeeming our lives and setting us on a course for heaven. And we know, Lord, that if our destination is heaven, then our destiny is holiness. Help us to understand how our union with you can influence our communion with you. And that how if we feed on your love for us, it will increase our love for you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.